Take a Chance, a Stargate Atlantis fanfiction by Cassiope 25. Relationship McShep. Rating teen. Tags include emotional hurt comfort, self-esteem issues, unintentional self-harm, hurt Rodney McKay. Episode related quarantine, also canon divergence. Written for the Stargate Atlantis Summer Music Festival 2024. Summary: when Rodney suffers a total loss of self-respect, it's John who picks up the pieces. Podficker's note: this podfic was created for Fandom Trumps Hate 2025. Thank you so much for your support, Cassiope 25, and I'm so glad to be able to make this podfic for such a great cause. Rodney looked at the closed door, defeated and forlorn, his own words echoing in his mind. If we get married now, I would make your life miserable, and you are far too good a person for that. He sighed and glanced at the little black box of doom and gloom. There went his chance at happily ever after. But wouldn't that be a miracle anyway? Just like Jeannie had told him not so long ago. The fact that you found a nice girl who's willing to put up with all your many little flaws is a miracle. Yeah, and let's face it, he was never one to perform miracles. Well, outside of last-minute rescues. There'd never been a line of potential spouses waiting at his door, and there never would be. Who would want a negative, demanding, arrogant know-it-all who'd make their lives a never-ending, miserable disaster? It would be better to retreat to his quarters and lick his wounds in private. Let the others gloat over their achievements. Maybe it would even be better to skip lunch and go for a few power bars instead. Tomorrow was another day. The mess hall was buzzing with voices, everyone exchanging experiences of the events of the previous day. John sat alone at a table near the balcony windows and watched the lively bustle of the expedition members, all of them chatting with excitement and relief. He couldn't bring himself to join in, though. His thoughts circling around yesterday's news about Rodney and Katie Brown. "Good morning, John." Taylor put her tray on the table and sat down opposite him. She tilted her head slightly, looking intently at him. "You seem deep in thought. Is something on your mind?" John put on his most innocent smile, knowing Taylor would see through him anyway. But a man could always try. "No, I'm fine." Taylor smiled softly at John. "I can see something is troubling you. You do not have to tell me. But if you want to share what weighs on you, I am here to listen. You know that." "Thanks. I appreciate your concern. But really, I'm okay. But what's up with you? Is Junior doing okay?" John asked, trying to lighten the mood. "Oh, yes. He is very active. He woke me up early and has not wanted to calm down since. So I thought I could get up and get things done. What is it that brought you here so early? Could you not sleep either?" "Nah, I'm a morning guy, early bird, and so on." "Bird?" Taylor seemed confused. "What does a bird have to do with your rest?" "Never mind, it's an earth saying. Basically, it means don't waste your time. And that reminds me, I have things to do. So..." He stood up and grimaced, every muscle aching from yesterday's climb. His reaction didn't escape Taylor. "You should see Dr. Keller. You may have pulled a muscle. It is not every day that you climb up a wall."
"Jeez, you sure know how to make a guy feel his age," John smirked and turned to leave. "See you later."
"Yes, we certainly will," Taylor inclined her head in farewell. John put his used tray away and left the mess, trying for a quick, strong stride, ignoring his sore muscles. Yeah, getting older definitely sucked. He thought about trying a workout to loosen his arms and legs, but dismissed it. His mind wasn't in it. Instead, his thoughts wandered back to yesterday morning. All he could think about was Rodney and his damn need to propose to Katie Brown, botched or not.
He still got a stomach ache just from thinking about the little black box with the white gold ring and Rodney's excited words. I feel it's about time that Katie and I moved the relationship to the next level, so... But what now? The rumor mill had been churning about their breakup since the moment the quarantine ended. He felt his throat closing up, just as it had yesterday. Why hadn't he said anything when Rodney had asked him if he was rushing things? But what could he have told him? That yes, it was a hell of a bad idea? Or, hey, you're not even in love with Katie? Should he have been the one to point out to Rodney that a relationship wasn't working if you didn't feel like yourself? If you were acting weird around each other? And not just because of having another consciousness in your mind. Maybe he should have at least suggested to Rodney that Katie wasn't the one for him. But damn, it wasn't as if he could confess any feelings of his own. He wasn't in a position to give Rodney the opportunity to choose another person. To choose him? John sighed. He'd just have to suck it up and be the one Rodney could rely on. The one who didn't mock him or trample his vulnerability underfoot. So whatever John may have wanted had to stay hidden. It was time to find Rodney, try to lift his mood, and be the good friend Rodney deserved. Rodney looked in the mirror, assessing the face that stared back at him. He looked tired and resigned. He'd been right about one thing. This was a worst-case scenario. Just not in the way he'd thought. There hadn't been an infection, and of course he hadn't been ill. Everyone was safe and sound. But it wasn't his genius plan that had saved the day. It had been Radek who'd solved the problem, and it had turned out to be just one more moronic, methodical inaccuracy of the ancients. Needless to say, he certainly would have come to the same conclusion much faster than anyone else, if only he'd had access to a computer. If only. Stop being an asshole and put yourself together. He growled at his reflection, his eyes narrowed. Who do you think you're fooling? It doesn't matter what could have been. You made a first-class idiot of yourself. In a split second, all the anger and frustration he'd buried deep down rose up in full force. You negative, demanding, petty, arrogant, hypochondriac moron, he shouted at the mirror. His mind clouded over with self-contempt, and he couldn't think clearly anymore. He gave way to his bitterness, screaming at his reflection, not even realizing that he'd swung his fist for a good punch until his rage, distorted face shattered into a million pieces under his fingers, and a sharp pain brought him back to reality. He deflated, the adrenaline draining from him as he stared at the now blank wall. Shards of the destroyed mirror scattered at his feet. His chest tightened as the reality of his outburst hit him, leaving him feeling shocked and shaken. Slowly, he stumbled back, his legs trembling, until he reached the edge of the bed. He sank down onto it, cradling his hurting hand, blood dripping from a deep, jagged cut. The piercing pain was immediate and sharp, shooting through his arm like a freight train. Yeah, it was definitely injured, more than was obvious to the eye. God, you're such a pitiful wreck, he whispered. Why would anyone bother to share any time with you, let alone their whole life? He sat there, slumped over with his head hanging down, his eyes gazing unseeing at the floor. After what felt like forever, but couldn't have been more than a few minutes, he sighed and finally made the effort to look at his already badly swollen right hand. He should at least do something to stop the bleeding. His eyes fell on the tack vest and he grabbed a bandage from it. He hastily wrapped it around his palm, but it clearly wouldn't be long before it was soaked through again. He was so screwed. It was obvious that he was in for a trip to the infirmary again, this time for a valid but still pathetic reason. How could he explain what had happened? Could he claim that he'd been startled by his own reflection and had mistaken it for an intruder? But why not? That would certainly fit with his neurotic overreacting the day before. He knew he wasn't the easiest person to be with. For him, the glass was always half empty. It was never half full. His treacherous brain conjured up a million worst-case scenarios, dragging him deeper and deeper into despair, fixating, of course, solely on the doomed options. Being able to think everything through to the last detail was both a blessing and a curse. He hadn't had much reason to expect happy endings, to believe in a satisfactory resolution for anything he hadn't handled himself. Fate hadn't been kind to him before Atlantis. He'd been constantly rejected, ridiculed, bullied. And now it had caught up to him again. It was as simple as that. His gaze fell on the ring box on his table, lying where he dropped it carelessly among his journals the night before, and he remembered showing the ring to John. Of course he had. Who else would he have let in on his secret but his best friend? He sighed wistfully. For a long time, he'd hoped that John would realize that he had more than just friendly feelings for him, but eventually, he'd become content and happy with the extraordinary friendship they shared. Or at least he'd come to terms with it. But it didn't matter. Nobody would want to be in a relationship with him anyway. He just wasn't boyfriend material. And judging by the pained expression on John's face when he'd looked at the ring in question, John entirely shared that opinion. He could only hope that he hadn't made a complete full of himself. John's words were still ringing in his ears. Really? You? Married? He sighed, mentally debating whether or not to throw himself to the wolves and go straight to the infirmary. He was still struggling with the decision when there was a telltale chime at his door. Oh, God, who could that be? He had to get rid of whoever it was. He was in no mood for a mocking tete-a-tete that would only make him feel worse. He decided to just let the bell go unnoticed. Whoever was on the other side should just go away and leave him in his misery. The chime rang again. Christ, why couldn't he be left alone? It wasn't as if at normal times there was a queue outside his quarters wanting to have a nice chat with one Dr. Rodney McKay. He wasn't known to be good at small talk. Everyone knew to avoid his acerbic tongue, even when he was in a good mood. No one even wanted to be around him when he wasn't. Rodney groaned inwardly and cradled his injured hand closer to his chest. The last thing he wanted right now was company. He glanced around, seeing the shards of the broken mirror scattered on the floor. He didn't feel like having to explain what had happened, and even less did he want anyone's embarrassing pity, especially not those awkward, well-meaning offers of help. Those never ended well for him. "Go away," he muttered wearily, willing the person outside to leave him be. This chime persisted, though, soon joined by a pounding on the door. There was only one person who would be as impertinent as that. As if on cue, he heard a muffled, "Rodney, come on, it's me. I know you're in there. Open the door." Rodney sighed in defeat and pushed himself off the bed. Of course it had to be Shepard. He knew John wouldn't give up any time soon. He walked over to the door, trying to hide his injured hand behind his back. As the door slid open, he found John standing there, his face a mixture of concern and something else Ronnie couldn't quite read. He didn't want to think about what was bothering John now, though. he needed to get rid of him and then get his hand seen by Carson without the certain mockery John would direct at him if he knew what had happened. "Did you want something?" Ronnie lifted his head in defense and tried to block John's view into his quarters. "Ronnie," John said softly, his eyes immediately noticing the tense way Ronnie was standing. "You okay?"
"I'm fine," Rodney snapped, but the edge in his voice betrayed him.
"What do you want, John? I'm not exactly in the mood for a chit-chat at the moment. Or did you come to help me drown my sorrows?"
Taking a deep breath, John pushed past Rodney and stepped into the room uninvited, the door closing behind him. Immediately, John's gaze fell on the mess on the ground and snapped back on Rodney. Rodney could see the look of dismay, even shock, in John's eyes.
"Jesus, what the fuck happened here?"
"It's nothing. I tripped and I accidentally knocked the chair into the mirror. It didn't stand up to the challenge." Rodney stumbled, trying for nonchalance.
"Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it as soon as you leave. So, if you don't mind, I have a..."
"The hell you tripped?" John interrupted, raising his voice with urgency.
"You can tell that to whoever else you want, but not me. What has happened here?"
Rodney's demeanor shifted from defensive to agitated in an instant.
"It's none of your business, Colonel. I said it was an accident. So unless there's a life or death situation that requires my immediate attention, I'd appreciate it if you'd just leave me in peace."
His voice had risen to match John's, his whole body tensing as he straightened up, his jaw set in frustration. For a moment, they stared at each other relentlessly, each wanting the other to give in. Eventually, Rodney deflated, his irritation and anger giving way to the all-too-familiar feelings of devastation and defeat.
"Fine," Rodney forced out through clenched teeth. "It wasn't a chair, obviously. It was me hitting the pathetic asshole who kept staring back at me. You happy now? You can go ahead and tell everyone and have fun ridiculing the arrogant bastard who's head of science."
John's gaze softened instantly, his expression changing to one of genuine concern. He reached out and gently squeezed Rodney's shoulder.
"Don't. You know I wouldn't do that."
John's eyes wandered down, inspecting his friend, noticing the awkward way Rodney held his right arm behind himself and the splashes of blood on his shirt.
"McKay?" John raised his eyebrows in an unspoken question. Rodney looked down, feeling uncomfortable under John's scrutiny, stubbornly hiding his injured hand.
"I told you it's nothing, at least nothing that would need you looking at it. It's my pride more than anything else that's injured here."
Oh, how he hoped John would just go away and leave him with his bruised ego, letting him keep the last of his dignity.
"Hey, I'm not kidding. Show me your hand." John used his command tone now.
"Yeah, of course John wouldn't do him that favor." Rodney sighed. "Better to rip the band-aid off and get it over with."
"Okay, if you insist. But you'll see there's no need to make a fuss about it."
He slowly brought his arm forward, avoiding John's gaze. He closed his eyes, bracing himself for the inevitable lecture. Instead, he felt John gently take his hand, noting the sloppy bandage and inspecting the other cuts and bruises.
"Doesn't look like nothing to me," John whispered hoarsely.
"Christ, why did you do this to yourself? Talk to me."
Ronnie pressed his lips together. He couldn't answer. What could he possibly say? Maybe if he kept his silence, John would just take the hint and go, leaving him to wallow in his misery?
"Rodney, please, look at me. I'm not here to harangue you. I'm your friend. I'm here
and I'm not leaving, no matter what, John pleaded. Something in John's voice, the urgency and emotion came through. Ronnie looked up, searching John's eyes, and instead of the expected disdain and pity, found only sympathy and genuine concern. John slowly took Rodney's arm and held it up, looking at the damage Rodney had inflicted there. He gently, almost tenderly, turned it left and right. "What did you do?" John repeated. When there still wasn't an answer, he let out a long sigh. "Okay, first, you need to get this looked at. And second, I know what a battered fist from a good punch looks like. We both know this isn't something you normally do. So tell me what's wrong." Rodney could feel John's eyes piercing into his, into his soul, searching for the reasons Rodney didn't want to tell him. And it wasn't just the look. It was the compassion, the concern, the warm feelings John put into the connection. It wasn't anything Rodney was used to on a daily basis. He felt his resistance crumble, succumbing to John's gentleness. But still, he couldn't bring himself to put his vulnerability into John's hands. The scars his life had given him were too deep.
I can't. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't like the man behind it, Rodney whispered. And that would break me, really break me, more than anything, even more than what brought it up in the first place. Try me. You might be wrong. Maybe it's you who doesn't understand. You're important to me, more than you probably realize. Please, I think I've earned your trust. John's voice broke at the last words. Rodney swallowed hard at that, remembering the moment he'd said those exact words to John. It's not that I don't trust you, John. There's no one I trust more. I trust you with my life. You know that. And this isn't about trust here. It's about being the miserable man I am. You can't change who I am. Ronnie spoke faster and faster, louder and louder with every word. If it wasn't for my brain, I wouldn't be worth anything. Look around. All I have to show is misery and disaster. Destroyer of a solar system? That's who I am. Petty and arrogant, insensitive and obnoxious. I know what I'm called behind my back. He winced at the radiating pain in his hand, relentless even as he spoke.
Look, you...
No, John, hear me out. I tried so hard to please everyone, starting with my parents. They wanted to have a sweet little boy who'd win everyone's heart. But I made them feel uncomfortable, being a difficult, genius child instead. Then Jeannie came, and don't get me wrong, you know how much I love her. And so did my parents, and just about everyone else. So I was the weird kid, the one nobody wanted, the one that, of course, had no friends. All my life, I've never belonged wherever I went, whatever I did. So I just started wanting to not belong, to show everyone that I didn't need them, and that I'm smarter anyway. Rodney stopped, looking down, and took a deep breath before continuing in a small voice. You know, it was so much easier to focus on the bad things. When you expect the worst possible outcomes, then you can't get disappointed. In fact, it was even reassuring. It was like playing Find the Mistake. I felt rewarded when pointing out the inevitable failure leading to me being right again. And soon enough, I was Mr. Doom and Gloom, the cynical grump that no one could stand to be around. But it was okay. It was like sailing in well-known waters. I was content being my own best friend, Ronnie ended in a bitter voice. There was a moment when neither of them said anything. The sound of the waves through the window was the only thing breaking the silence. Then John cleared his throat, his emotions choking him. That's the past. You've got friends here now. You know that, he said softly. Listen, I know you're upset about what happened yesterday with Katie and about everything. John's gaze wandered back to the wall, taking in the shattered mirror again. He sighed. I heard the proposal didn't go as you'd hoped. I know you probably want to be on your own, but still, you don't have to go through this alone. Ronnie had followed John's look and felt the heat of embarrassment rising to his cheeks. Crossing his arms defensively, he winced slightly at his injured hand pressed against his stomach, then snapped back. Oh, please, spare me the pity party. I'm perfectly capable of handling my own misery. Thank you very much. John grimaced at that and took a step closer. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not pitying you. I'm just offering to be here, with you, for whatever you need. Ronnie looked away, his throat tightening. What if what I really need is to be left alone? John didn't back down. I don't think that's true. I think you're already feeling alone. Alone and betrayed, cheated out of your chance of a happy life. Ronnie's eyes shot back to John, filled with self-loathing and something closer to anger. What do you know about missed chances? What do you see when you look in a mirror? You see a man who has the universe at his feet. No one can resist you. You're perfect. And all that I saw was the face of a joker who can't get anything done unless it involves equations and theories, who is of no interest to anyone beyond that, who makes everyone feel uncomfortable, drags everyone down, pulls everyone into a black hole of negativity. Ronnie paused, overwhelmed with strong emotions. Focusing on the broken shards of glass, he whispered, "You should stay away from me. I'm not good company. I ruin things. Always have." John shook his head, his voice gentle but firm. "No, you don't ruin things. You fix them. You can't push me away this easily. I'm not going anywhere. I believe in you, even when you don't believe in yourself." Ronnie snorted disdainfully. "There's nothing..." "No, don't," John interrupted him sharply, making Ronnie's head snap back up. "Now it's your turn to hear me out." Startled at John's outburst, Ronnie's eyes widened in shock. "Okay," he replied in a small voice. John looked Ronnie intently in the eyes, willing his friend to truly listen to him, to get what was about to say into his big skull. "You told me what you see when looking at yourself in the mirror, but that's not what I see. That's not what I've ever seen. The moment I sat in that chair in Antarctica, I took in the excitement in your eyes, the eagerness to explore, and the pure joy with which you were looking at me. That was the real reason why I even thought about joining a one-way expedition to another galaxy." "And you say you're a coward? A laughingstock? A shitshow character?" Ronnie winced at the harsh words, at the way John had thrown Ronnie's scorn back at him. He was about to interrupt when John's firm look made him close his mouth and let him continue. "I know you're terrified of half the stuff we get into, but you've got more guts than you give yourself credit for. You face things that would freak anyone out. And yeah, you complain a lot, but you still step up every time, even when you're scared. Hell, especially when you're scared. That takes guts. Would a coward have gone into the deadly energy creature cloud in the first days? Days, Rodney, as in the first chance you had to save the day. You saved Elizabeth from Kolya. You saved me from a wraith on that godforsaken planet. You saved our asses more times than I can count." John's agitation left him, and he added in a much softer tone, "You think you're the acerbic geek, the arrogant know-it-all, only tolerated for your brilliant brain, holding everyone at arm's length. John placed both hands on Rodney's shoulders and squeezed them gently to get his next words across. You act like you don't want to get close to people, like you're just focused on the work. But you've got a bigger heart than you let people see. You care a lot more than you let on. I've seen it. John hesitated, his hand still on Rodney's shoulders. His eyes softened, something deeper flickering there. And it matters. It matters to me. More than you know. More than I wanted to admit to myself. Or you? John's last words came out more in a whisper, and he released Rodney's shoulders and stepped back, wanting to give him space. Rodney didn't move, didn't even know how to speak anymore. He looked with wide eyes at John, feeling the weight of the unspoken truth hanging in the air. I know things didn't go how you hoped they would go with Katie, John continued quietly, and I get that, but maybe it wasn't supposed to. Maybe it was never meant to work out like that. John smiled gently, betraying a touch of vulnerability. Then he sighed. So if, he paused, if you're looking for something or someone to take a chance on, maybe you don't have to look so far. Maybe it's right here with me. Rodney swallowed hard, trying to process John's words. It was the most he had ever heard John say about emotional things. Still at a loss for coherent speech, he managed only a single word at the unexpected confession. Really? The word hung in the air, filled with confusion and a hint of hopefulness. He studied John's face, searching for any hint of a prank. But all he saw was an intensity in John's eyes that had never been there before. Rodney's heart raced at the overwhelming implications of what John had said. Are you serious? Rodney's voice was barely audible now, his face an open expression of uncertainty. He had closed that book a long time ago. Should he really open it again, expose his heart, and make himself vulnerable? John nodded, slowly, looking intently at Rodney, willing him to see the truth behind his words. Yes, I am. Rodney felt the walls crumble around his heart, the hope he had buried so long ago rising to the surface again. I don't know what to say. John looked softly at him. You don't have to say anything right now. Just know that I'm here, that I'm around whenever you need me, when you're feeling down, when something gets the better of you. John gestured to the mess on the floor. You can be sure that you're not alone in this. Whenever you want to talk, or if someday you feel you're ready to give us a chance to explore this, whatever it is, I'll be right here by your side. A sudden warmth filled Rodney's heart at the genuine sincerity of John's words, but there was also a fear creeping up on him. What if it didn't work out? What if he were to lose John too? I don't want to screw this up, Rodney finally admitted. Neither do I, but we'll figure this out together. You're not in this alone. John closed the gap between them once more and slowly lifted his hand to brush Rodney's cheek, giving him a chance to pull away. Rodney leaned into the touch and let John's hand caress his skin. As John drew nearer, he closed his eyes and felt the warmth envelop him. Holding his breath, he waited until he felt John's lips meet his own. The kiss was soft at first, a tentative exploration, neither wanting to break the spell. But it quickly deepened, both melting into the moment of intimacy and fulfillment. Without thinking, Rodney's hands found their way to John's waist, pulling him in even closer. A stabbing pain flared through his arm, making him cry out and bringing them back to reality in an instant.
Shit, your hand. Please, you have to go to the infirmary and let Carson look at it, John pleaded when Rodney instinctively hid his injured arm behind his back again. Rodney winced, his hand throbbing, but he slowly extended his arm again, allowing John to hold it carefully. This looks really bad. I don't think Carson will be happy. John sighed, shaking his head. You don't do things by half, do you? Oh, great. Thanks for the expert medical opinion, Dr. Shepherd, McKay snapped. But his voice softened as he added, Look, I know it's bad, okay? Carson is going to give me the lecture of a lifetime, so can we skip the small talk and just get it over with? John grinned involuntarily at Rodney's words. Ah, there, that's my Rodney. I knew all hope was not lost. Let's go. He slipped an arm around Rodney's shoulders and gently guided him towards the door. Okay, Rodney said quietly. But after that, we're not talking about this anymore. John chuckled softly, his hand still on Rodney's shoulder as they headed outside. We'll take it one step at a time. One step at a time. As they walked down the hallway together, side by side, Rodney couldn't help but feel something he hadn't felt in a long time. A glimmer of hope? Maybe, just maybe, he could take a chance on this. On John? On the possibility that, despite all his flaws and insecurities, he was worth it. And as they walked toward the infirmary, Rodney realized that maybe, in the end, the glass wasn't always half empty. The end.